Sunday.
This is one of those days.
The day of rest.
When you wake up.
The time for reflection.
The birds are chirping.
To take stock.
You're smelling the clippings off the lawn.
Except on Triple M.
Pop a bit of that!
Really popped up.
This is the Sunday Rub.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's.
Triple M rocks footy.
That's it. Pretty wintry day in Melbourne. We're at the mighty MCG. An enormous game of football. We've seen the Blues last couple of Sundays in a row go close, playing some attacking footy. Today they come up against the undefeated Demons in a tremendous match taking place in 2 hours and 20 minutes' time. So much to get through before then. Guests, a couple of nice ones. Zach Fisher will join us from the Blues. Jake Arts, after another goal again for him last night. He was handy. Jay-Z's a big three. The pump up from the Duck. Deflate Nate, drilling deep. Where we talk about the Hawks and their rebuild and how North Melbourne had their first win. Brownie Stock Exchange. And so much more to get through as we lead up to the Blues and the Demons. As always, the captain of the team is here. The King, Wayne Carey. Hello, Ducky boy.
Self-appointed captain.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Okay. No, good to be here, Howie. Looking forward to this one today. As you said off the top, we've seen the Blues the last couple of weeks, and although they mightn't have got the result, they did beat the Bombers, but although they haven't got the result last week, they're playing a good brand.
They are playing exciting footy, and a man came up and about today, walked into the box and said favourite part of his week, which I don't know how that reflects on his week. Ross Lyon is here. Hello, Rossy. Great to see you.
No, I'm pumped.
Good.
Melbourne, Blues at the G, beautiful day. Look, it might come in, but my radar's telling me it's going to be a cracker.
I'll tell you what,
I could be wrong, but I'm really looking forward to it.
Tell you what, Ross, I'll tell you what I loved during the week. Sorry to just chime in, but I loved...
This was my story.
You absolutely schooled Lloydy on your show, Footy Classified.
Did he?
Schooled him over the North Melbourne thing. And then you wouldn't believe it. Guess what? North Melbourne won.
They did have a win.
It's terrific.
Oh, I forgot.
I love it.
I thought the best part of this story that you sit up and watch is one.
I love it. I saw a replay of it.
What do you mean he
somewhere.
Schooled him?
He schooled him. Well, Lloyd, he just had nowhere to go. Well,
I think that's a little bit harsh. We have a strong working relationship,
yeah,
Matthew and I.
I just saw you
but he was, David Noble's coming under heat. He's in a tough suit, but... You know, you had one of the great coaches of process. We want to get the right process. There's plenty of ordinary processes out there. But if you capability, build your process, the wins will follow, yep. Not focus on the win.
Love it. Nathan Noodles Brown's here, fresh off his hit rating TV show on the Nine Network in the morning. Hello to you, Noodles.
Yeah, good to be here, Howard. I haven't done much of a preview for this game. The crypto markets this week have been out of control. It's been up and down. I've spent most of my time on the charts this week on the screens.
Well, I saw your man Elon Musk made a few comments and she went up and down and up and down again.
Someone's pulled out. They're going green.
Someone needs to shut him up.
Right.
Green. I thought of you straight away.
No, we're going okay. So Elon tweeted that the Bitcoin mining doesn't correlate with how they're obviously electric cars and they're trying to save the planet and all that sort of stuff. And he's not going to accept Bitcoin as payment for Teslas anymore. Not that many people buy Teslas with Bitcoin, but he did no mention of selling any Bitcoin. We just don't like the mining that it produces. So he's still got his billions sitting there. But it did form a little bit of a crash. But you've got to be smart when to sell. You buy the blood, Howie. That's what they always say.
All right. Thanks for clarifying that.
What did they drop percentage-wise?
Can someone wake me up when this conversation's over?
Are you wearing a boy 16 pant again today, Duck? Or is that they're not for you, those pants, are they?
What do you mean?
They are ridiculous. They're like a 7/8.
No, they shrunk in the wash, though. They shrunk in the wash. Jay Clark's here. Hello to you, Clarky.
Hello, Howie. How are you, mate?
Oh, I'm excellent, thank you.
I wake up in the morning on a Sunday morning. We do our under-8s footy and all that sort of stuff. And then I just keep an eye on social media, Howie. And I saw there was a bit of kerfuffle. I mean, we saw one of the games of the year last season, didn't we?
Last night.
We'll get to the 4-point win in a second. But I did sort of notice there was a bit of a blow-up about some of the calling last night. Maybe a bit of overexcitement and just a bit going sort of over the top. And then I checked, and I thought, that's my man. How are we calling last night with the great Eddie Maguire?
Yes.
One of the best sports broadcasters of our lifetime.
Yes, where's this going?
And I thought, I would reckon they would have called the socks off it last night. And then, I went back and heard a little bit. And I thought, let's check out what sort of job they did.
Ooh.
Umpire calls play on. Up it goes. Revolt again off the hands of the pack. Dusty, 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 Dusty! Dusty's cleaned up the goal, umpire! I think he's got it!
Decision on the scoreboard.
Here comes the decision for the Tiger Army. By acclamation, it is a... goal to the Tigers! Revolt uses his body, releasing handball to
I would have thought that was brilliant calling. Brownie captured the excitement and the significance of the moment's brilliant.
I thought that was outstanding from Howard.
But social.
I think he's setting out for a fall.
I'm waiting for the whack.
I thought the call was great.
Yeah, social media is been a little bit unkind, and I just wanted to give you a pat on the back, and I thought you'd done a magnificent job. Do you sort of you review your performance in the morning? Did you think?
Well, I haven't checked social media today.
They sort of said you guys were a bit too excitable, but when you review your performance, what do you think? Because you've got the great man Eddie McGuire sitting next to you.
Well, I thought it went okay last night. I'll give you a bit of backstory. It's the first time I've called a game with Ed. I actually asked the boss at Fox Footy a month ago if I could have the opportunity to call with him because I'm not going to get to call with the likes of McAvaney or Cometti, and he's a legend. So I walked into that box last night, and it was all a bit like the early days of the Big Bash, Nate. I sat down, and I was sitting next to Eddie, and being a Hawthorn supporter on one side, then there's Derm and Jared Healy, and I thought to myself, Rossi, what on God's name am I doing sitting in this football commentary box? And I was a little bit nervous. You know, I get nervous generally these days, but I was a little bit nervous. And at quarter time, Eddie pulled me aside because you've got to know your role, Duck. You've got to know your role. And my role, I thought, in the cricket parlance, Nate, was to hit a quick single.
Hold your ender.
Yeah.
Get off the strike.
Get off strike and get the big boys out so they can hit them over the fence. That's the way I was approaching it. And Eddie said to me at quarter time, he said, you're handing over a little bit too quickly in a roundabout way. He said, I want you to think of yourself as the main caller and me as the secondary caller and go and dominate this game, which I thought was absolutely extraordinary. I haven't had as much fun calling the footy as I had calling with Eddie last night. He was wonderful. He taught me how to call the game, and I loved his excitement.
Yep.
Something that did happen, Noodles, last night, which is one of the best things I've ever seen in football as a complete aside.
He doesn't have fun here on a Sunday.
No, I do. But yeah, yeah.
Thanks for the backhander.
Let's be honest, Nate.
Doesn't get nervous in my presence.
Well, no, because we're here on the wild.
They had Dermot, we got Duck. We had Jared, we got Ross.
They had Eddie and we got you. That's sort of where my point's going here, Nate. That's sort of where I'm going.
That's a ridiculous point.
That's a pretty sharp point, to be honest.
I get it.
Okay.
Eddie didn't play the greatest 10 games you've ever seen, Nate.
He was absolutely brilliant to call with. I loved his energy and excitement. But he did something last night that I think you would really appreciate, Ross, and you as well. And you as well, Nate. He walked in with a papered over big frame as a present. And Jared Healy walked in. I'll tell this story anyway. I'm not talking out of school. But Jared walked in and he handed it to Jared and he said, mate, you've always been a really, really good friend and I just wanted to show my appreciation to you. And Derm and I are sitting there and Jared's like, oh, do I open it now? And it was a full, like, 2 metre by 2 metre frame. Mm. And he opened it up and Jared was lost for words about what Ed had done. Ed, apparently the year Jared won the Brownlow medal, had got the menu, which was a full A3 sheet with the prawns and the profiteroles written on one side and the chicken or the beef. And he got Jared to sign it the night he won the Brownlow medal on the back of the menu. So he presented him with a full frame, which you could see glass both sides, with the full menu that Eddie had kept from that night, signed on the back by Jared. You could see on either side with photos of Jared getting the Brownlow. And Jared was absolutely gobsmacked. Wow. And then on the back of the menu, there was a photo montage of 100 players. And for 25 minutes, the three of them, Jared Healy, Eddie McGuire and Dermot Brereton, sat there trying to identify all the players that Eddie had reported on that they had played against. Derm being Derm said, geez, Eddie, I thought we were good mates. You've never given me anything in 25 years. But it was just, so I don't know what was said about the call last night, but it illustrated to me, you hear so many stories about what Eddie McGuire does for people. Mm-hmm. And Jared, he was speechless. And it was honestly one of the best things I've been witness to see. It was bloody fantastic.
Another example of his generosity.
Yeah.
He's a ripper, Ed. I love Ed. Yeah. That's a great story, by the way.
Well, it was absolutely fantastic. So I don't know what was said about his call, but it was fantastic to be involved with it last night.
By the way, when it comes to calling of the footy, and Brownie, you and we all appreciate it, I think the commentary makes the moment bigger. It can be really flat if you're not excitable. I mean, we see it so often.
Yep.
I will say this. We all do it. When the good players get the ball, we obviously get more excited, whereas players that haven't reached that level yet do things just as good, but we don't get as excited.
Or the anticipation around them. Like I was watching that last 10 minutes, the anticipation when Dusty come into the screen, the expectation he's going to kick a goal. Like the arousal levels just pop up.
And the crowd get, like, we'll watch Pickett today. And when he goes near the ball, you just, you lift, don't you?
And as a broadcast, you cannot please everyone. I'm naturally excitable. Eddie, he's your old school. Mm. excitable broadcaster, which I love, and you feed off that sitting next to him. Some people love the excitement in the call, and they'll say, that was fantastic. Other people, they're more your straight operators. They're like, oh, you guys get too carried away, so you can't please everyone. So, I don't know.
And he legitimately loves the game.
I loves it.
Yeah. I know he loves the Pies, but...
Absolutely loves it.
I'm seeing and experiencing him at Footy Classified with a bounce in him and no fatigue in him. I think we're seeing the best of it again.
Like it's funny what Derm said last night. He bowled in. He's had a huge game tonight. And Derm said to him, again, I'm not speaking out of school, but Derm said to him, gee, without the presidency, you've got more time. I can see how excited
Breakfast
you are about
radio.
The footy tonight. Yeah. So, mate, it was an absolutely brilliant experience for me. I'm not sure Ed went home and told his wife last night, gee, I had a bloody ball calling with Howie. But,
look,
yeah,
he was
brilliant.
I think you've done enough to get another run next week.
You nailed the Rioli moment. Jeez, that was a good moment.
Thank
nailed
you.
That
thank
moment.
You, Brownie. Thank
it
you.
Didn't sound like Jay-Z enjoyed it that much.
No, I just like to take the temperature of the room.
I felt like there was a clip coming.
No, I thought there was too.
Just got to paint
but
the
it was Twitter. Was it Twitter? I mean, that's minority. What is there? 5% of the population's on there.
Boy, sometimes we get grey skies. You can still lift yourself in the moment. Like Howie just did. You see, you described Eddie then as a very generous caller. Went outside of him. Now, let's get to the callers who go the other way. Who are the real selfish type who sort of say, no, we want more time? Who can name some names on that front? Anyone, you sort of any bad experiences on that front?
I'm not sure it's a path you want to go down. But I just.
Just name one.
Well.
There like, was one day when.
Don't do it, Howie.
No. Das, I love calling with Das. And he has taught me so much.
Yes.
And he is so generous.
But.
Until there's 3 minutes to go in the game. then you might as well take the headset off and walk out the back of the box. But I appreciate that. I appreciate that.
So you're saying Das is a selfish caller?
You're going to replay this on Friday night, aren't you?
Absolutely.
No, I'm not saying Das is a selfish caller.
Except for the last 3 minutes.
Well, the last 2.5 minutes, probably fair. No, there is... Yeah, I haven't ever worked with anyone that that has dominated the call.
I'm being facetious, but I'm going to go back to the 2016 preliminary final, GWS versus the Bulldogs, because you've just twigged my memory. I do, mate. Did he just call that last sort of 5 minutes of that game? Oh, I can't quite remember. Could we get onto the game? Because
yes.
It was a big win by Richmond over GWS. They were down early. Jesse Hogan caught fire, which was great to see. I think all footy fans were uplifted by seeing him really catch the ball a lot late in that second quarter. But I think it... A Richmond which was clearly under strength. I mean, they insert Liam Baker into the midfield, who's been excellent off half-back, and he really shone. It was a four-point win to Richmond. A bad bounce over Whitfield. The Rioli off a really tough week, as you called magnificently, snaps it for goal. Let's have a listen to the Richmond coach on how hard it was for Daniel Rioli and the text messages they shared the night before the game.
It was great, actually. You know, I thought he got his hands on a couple of really important balls. His last quarter was quite special, I thought, and you know, it was great for him to finish off with that goal that put us in front. You know, he had a tough week, there's no doubt, and you know, he just wanted to get out there and play. And I was sort of a little bit worried about him last night, back and forward a couple of times, to see how he's feeling from a stress point of view. But he was adamant, he wanted to play, and he played a really important part to help get us over the line.
You can see why they love him as a coach, as a father figure. I mean, Marlon Pickett got put in first game in a grand final, so he backs his side in, he backs his players in, and he backed the two boys in during the week and said, I don't think they did anything wrong. They need to stand up for what they
was
believe
that right,
in.
Though? Was
I thought right? It was. That's him looking after his players. So in from his point of view, I thought it was right. And then a guy called, first gamer, Collier Dawkins, 3 weeks ago, he put him in, did more centre bounces than any other player on debut. So that's backing your players in, and I think that's part of the reason why they love him.
But we can go to the... He supported his players, but I still think Gill's call to walk away is the right call.
So Dimmer said he wants
the right call because it's a dangerous place out there. And
sometimes you can't.
They
walk away,
want
though.
You, but you can grab your partner and go. This is a bad situation. They want you to arc
up
and let's get out of here before I get hurt or you get hurt because there's some bad situations out there that AFL players. There's some people that want him to arc back up. Walk away.
He said we wanted to make a stand. I probably agree with you on that, Howie.
Just on the footy last night.
Yep.
And I don't say this lightly, and this is the respect I hold this man in. You used to watch the Kangaroos on a Friday night, and they'd get goals behind, and we'd all know, right, can Carey save the Kangaroos? Last night, that was what it was like watching Dusty Martin. To see that live... He kicked those two goals to keep the minute.
But it's more than Dusty. I hear Dusty.
Yeah,
but they were ferocious as a unit that It was Grimes. Like, Dusty's the cream.
But they're getting nowhere near.
But I'll tell you, it's not basketball. It's not one player. He's a special player. But you need, and as great as Wayne was, he had some really special players, that whole unit. So, yeah, you have your great players, but you know what? There's great players at clubs. Everyone says Cripps are great players. I don't see them just getting him across the line. You need a team in AFL. It's not basketball. It's not one player that changes a franchise. It doesn't work like that. So
Baker,
it's not offensive, but and I know we eulogise Dusty. No problem. And he is special, and he can just turn, and everyone gets on board. But it was the whole 22 going there. They just flicked the switch and said, we're not losing this game. They're ferocious.
What about the coaching move? Baker from a half-back flank into the midfield.
Yeah, I loved it. Yeah, the week, Western Bulldogs, he was playing on a half-back flank. They put him forward. He was absolutely like a wrecking ball for, I love him. Mm. And then this week they did in the midfield. I think he's one of the most underrated players in the competition. And that's why what Geelong did to him. Like, they cleaned up Baker. I forget who did it. It might have been Atkins, or it was a big hit on him. He had to go off the ground. So you got to match their physicality.
JC?
Yep.
Have you got the goal line technology to talk about?
That's coming up later in the show.
Okay, we won't talk about it now.
I know that's on your agenda. Brown, you also want to talk about Marvel Stadium. This was fascinating. So we know only 18,000 last night rocked up to this game, and your energy you provided from the commentary box was fantastic. Well,
apparently it was a bit too much from all reports from what you're telling me.
No, we're inside the
you flattened him.
We love you, Howie. Let's have a listen to the very strong comments that Damien Hardwick made about the indoor venue last night.
Look, the truth of the matter is you can play Richmond games here, but they don't come. So if you want big crowds, play our home games at the G. Pretty simple solution for mine.
Any idea why they're not coming? Anyone send you emails on that?
Mate, I hate coming here. Yeah. Probably shouldn't say that, but...
Why is that?
Hey?
Why is that?
Well, the MCG has got soul. It's got Richmond people there. Our people don't come here. Plain and simple. I'd love them to come, but the fact of the matter is I can't drive them all here.
Strange, Ross.
It's only 1 minute to stop from Flinders Street. Jollymont, Flinders Street.
It's a very
Southern
strange
Cross
thing to say.
It was almost snowing in Melbourne last night.
Yep.
As a neutral football fan, 100%. If I had the choice last night of going to the MCG or Marvel Stadium and watch that game of footy, there's no way you get me the MCG.
How much more of a toll does it take on your body, boys? You played here, Brownie. You coached here, Ross.
Yeah.
It was more the recovery. So you recovered better at the MCG, so you probably went into the next game a little bit stiff and sore if you played at Etihad or
Due Marvel. To the hardness.
That's changed.
Because it's a car park.
That's changed, though, hasn't it?
It's still hard.
It's still very hard.
The Saints
hard.
Players used to... Just Dockers used to play there. They used to comment. They couldn't really get moving for a few... You know, take them an extra day and a half.
But does that make the supporters now go, well, our coach doesn't really care or think we're going to turn up, so we won't turn up when we play at Marvel?
Given it's the AFL's stadium, it was the comments were wrong.
It struck me as a silent protest from Richmond fans last night saying, well, if we do turn up, we might have to turn up here a little bit more often, so let's not turn up and hopefully we don't get any more
games. The AFL won't be happy about his comments.
But it might be about turnkey, what it does to unlock a stadium and get it ready for an AFL game. Now, it's GWS they're playing.
Does it give the players an out? Or we hate playing here?
Well, they play well there. They demolish the Saints.
This is Jay-Z's Big Three.
Jay-Z, Paddy Cripps playing today. Gee, there's been some talk about to where he's at.
Yep.
Unfairly, I thought myself, but how are you reading it all?
Well, it's been one of the biggest stories of the year, no doubt about that. And it was a very messy, one of the messiest postscripts I've seen this week. And I was absolutely shocked. You know, I like to pay close attention to the press conference.
You do.
Carlton coach David Teague, when asked about Patrick Cripps and a very good report in The Age from a very good reporter in Michael Gleeson, that he had a fractured back at some point and required some painkiller injections. Now, David Teague, for some reason, and I'm still shocked about this, said he didn't know. He didn't know the extent of the injury or the medical findings, etc. And I was absolutely shocked because it is the coach's job. So he's either being negligent or just a bit dismissive in his star captain's medical injury. Now, Carlton this morning have contacted us along with a number of other media outlets and said, look, let's get this clear and let's get this straight. So Patrick Cripps, and we can tell you, that did suffer a fracture of the tip of the L3 transverse process. So it's like a small fracture in a small part of his back that clearly... clearly meant that he was playing under some duress in the early part of the season. Affected him for 2 or 3 weeks, but over the past 5 weeks, Howie, been able to train fully.
So Carlton sent that out, have they?
Yes, they have confirmed that, because it clearly was very messy. So they need to be accurate here. He did suffer that back fracture, Patrick Cripps. They wouldn't say or elaborate on whether he required the painkilling injections, but they were adamant that Patrick Cripps has been able to train fully for the past 5 weeks and is back to full condition. Now, Ross, have you ever been in a situation where you didn't know what Matthew Pavlich's injury was or what?
No, personally, I knew. We had a system.
It's your job to know, isn't it?
Well, I felt it was. I felt it was. It actually caught my attention. I actually saw the comment. Can I ask for one bit of clarity?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
In Gleeson's article, they say it was a current injury or he was now over.
No, he said that he had played with it in the season. So he was insinuating that it was an old injury, but that didn't make it any less of a story.
Yeah, look, sometimes you walk out of press conferences, and I had a couple where you go, well, I wish I had handled that better.
Yeah.
So I think Teague, I was like, either you know or you don't. I just thought it was a bit cute. I thought he made a mistake. The process for me, and that, like when the Essendon drug saga was on, and Lordy said, well, I don't know. I'd know if they're having a cortisone or if they're taking Panadol. Because every day, and it come from the Swans assistant, the head doctor, I'll be as quick as I can, head doctor, physio, conditioner, football operations manager and coach.
Yep.
And this is what we did at St Kilda, and Fremantle would meet daily pre the session for an update. So it was either status quo or this is happening, map out his program, that's what he's going to achieve, and go through the medical first and then the program. And everyone's skin was in the game. And then once they did their program, on or off the field, you get another meeting post and get a full, went to plan. So I would know they're going for jabs, they're going for scans. I would know everything and would know the injury. So for me, like the Essendon drug scandal, I was like, well, what do you know? They're getting 4 injections a week each. Like, I was sort of rolling my eyes a bit. I was giggling. Either the governance was poor. Even here, you got to understand, well, what's their system? But he would know that he's at the back, he's made an error, and he's been caught out. Hopefully we can all move on.
Doctor, this has been a taboo subject in footy. Dr. Peter Larkins this week, Brownie, said painkilling injections need to be reined in the AFL landscape. Too many happen too often, allowing players to play regularly. 23% of players this weekend are on the sidelines because they are currently injured, which Larkin thinks is a too high number. What do you think about the use of painkilling injection? You would have played with them?
Duck, you're the same. I wrote an article many, many years ago saying that, in a way, getting a painkilling injection is performance enhancing because without it, you can't play. So in a way, it is enhancing you to be able to play. Now, it doesn't make you play better, but it actually gets you on the park to play. I tend to agree with you, Jay. I actually think that players have them too often, and they're not good for you, and they weaken the area. If they continually get put in the same area, it weakens that area.
How many jabs have you had?
Could not tell you how many.
More than 10?
Thousands.
10 or more than 50 or 100 or what?
More.
More than 100?
More.
He would have more than a couple of hundred.
What I'm saying, there are players that have gone before that would have had. I mean, you listen to Dermy talk about someone, and he actually speaks about it openly. But I think it's too much. But I think, and once again, this isn't knowing what the actual parameters are for having them, but I think it's way less now than what it used to be. Would you agree with that, Ross?
Way less now?
Way less now.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but it's actually more professional. Like, you bring a, I think it's a radiologist into your rooms with the ultrasound machine, so they're done under ultrasound to get into the right spot for safety. Well, that's pretty slick.
By the way, I don't know how many I had.
I'm just saying I had a lot.
You're saying less? You had more than
100? No, I don't know how many.
I'll tell you where they've become more with people with backs, and that was the crux of the article today.
Yep.
They send them in for epidurals, which is like when it first, but I don't know how often they go in, but there's a risk with an epidural like that. Yes. That's not insignificant.
So an epidural is meant to be so you can strengthen that part after you have it so you're not feeling the pain, yeah?
The epidural?
Yeah.
Just to block the pain. Well, what's in an epidural? Oh, no, we're getting into the areas here. But even now, though, Ross,
once you've retired, I had 2 injections last year into my neck cortisone under MRI because of injuries that you sustained playing footy. Yeah. So,
but you can say no.
It's still ongoing. Like, you're still having to get injections.
You can say no, and Zaharakis said no.
Yes.
So
Gazza said no a few times, didn't he?
Yeah, and so, but I think there's they've tightened up on the off-label use, so that was creeping into game with a few off-label performance enhancing, arguably. So the test, my understanding is, they'll give you a local game day, and it's pretty significant game day. You need the numbers out there. The test, as long as it's not going to cause any more damage to the current injury. Now, how do you figure that? I don't know, but they're very good. The doctor's under pressure.
How do you figure that? Whether it's going to
cause if it's broken, it's broken. We can't break it anymore.
Yeah,
exactly. But, brownie.
You know,
I would have had a fair. I mean, I don't think I would have had the same as Duck, but I think in the latter years, I had a really bad groin, and I know that I was getting it jabbed at
every week
training. To get out there and
multiple
train.
Times a week.
Yeah, and then pre-game and then halftime again. So, but that was my choice. I wanted to play. I wanted to be out there, and then I wanted to have it at training so I didn't lose fitness. So it felt like it was something I could manage, but I got weaker and weaker, and at no point did the doctor or anyone at the footy club put pressure. It was my choice to have it.
Look, that I think that's changed. The jabs to train, my experience is they'll, if you think you can play with a jab, what they'll do, they'll just trial it at the last session. Does that help you make your pain free? Yep. Just enough to make a decision. Yep, you can play. But for you to regularly be having jabs in, that doesn't exist anymore.
Isn't there a case with Ty Zantuck at the moment?
He had him in his back.
He had him in his back, which is
a whole lot.
How do you feel as a parent, Howie? Parents will be listening to that in the car and you go, oh, my son is or isn't having jabs to train at football level.
But that's not happening anymore.
Isn't it?
No, not like Nathan, no. And I think it's the point players saying, give it to me, give it to me. Yep. I mean, I had a groin injury. I was like, we'll jab it. Like, you went from not moving to, it was great. And then it wore off at halftime. I said, put some more in. The doc said, mate, you can't have any more.
Well, I wouldn't be too
concerned. And then
you're
in a screaming hoop that night.
I wouldn't be too concerned about Nate. This is a man that had a special dispensation from Asada to have a hair-growing product, so I wouldn't be worried about it. Do you think it was performance-enhancing, the fact your hair was better when you were playing, you felt better about yourself? Would you have called the finasteride performance-enhancing?
Well, the great Trent Crowe once said, you look good, feel good, play good. You've got to go down that path.
Hey, Clarkie, two more of the big three to come. We might take a quick break here. We'll get to the rest soon. 28 points down they were, the Tigers, last night. Then somehow they managed to get an unbelievable win.
Now a kick back inside. Rewald in front, won't mark. Pull the ball, Dusty Martin lurks. Bounces back to Rewald. Little snap from 20. He's got it, Jack. He's got it. Punch to the back. Who's home? Oh, Martin over out. He's running the goal umpire. He's smashed into the deck. Here it comes. Crucial call. This is critical.
Just when they look down and out, missing all their superstars in the midfield, they find a way to win the game.
Barry Denner and Joey Montagna calling the socks of it last night on the M's, and a man that's become an integral part of the Richmond Footy Club. He was there, and he kicked another goal again last night. He's kicked a goal in every game this year. His name is Jake Artsy. He joins us on the line now. Mark Howard here. Jake, g'day, mate. How are you going?
Good, thanks, boys. Thanks for having me.
Hey, great to speak to you. From where we were sitting, one of the games of the season last night, what was it like out in the middle of Marvel Stadium for you?
Oh, yeah, it was unreal, mate. You know, we knew GWS were going to come out hard. They've had a good brand of footy the last couple of weeks, and their midfield have been going pretty well. So we just knew what they were going to bring, and you know, they obviously showed it the first half, and we sort of got knocked down a few times. But it was a credit to our boys to come out the second half, and with missing a few stars in our team, to put on the show we did in the second half. So it was good.
And the coach was able to throw the magnets around a little bit. Liam Baker, we've spoken about already in this program, goes from half forward to half back, back to half forward. Then this week goes into the midfield, and he filled that void where there was five of your probably best 10 players out.
Yeah. Bakes is, he's incredible. Just, he goes forward, he's back, he can go in the midfield. He just gives everything wherever he plays, and he's a good teammate to have, and you can trust him, and he's good. He's just a good teammate to play with.
We were talking earlier about Daniel Rioli and the situation he found him in, Jake. How did you know about it, or what did you think when you first saw Daniel come into the club with a shiner? What is your clearly mates, you know, you're invested in the premiership cause together. What is your reaction when you see that for the first time?
I didn't know until obviously the Monday when we walked in. So you're a bit shocked at the start. You just sort of wanted to know if everything was all right and if the boys were all right. But after that, it gets addressed quite early, and then from there it's just dealt behind the scenes, and we just move on. To be honest, it didn't get brought up a lot, and you know, my locker's next to Daniel's, so, and I get along with him quite well. So from my point of view, I just wanted to make sure he was all right, and then it was just move on from there.
Jake, Ross Lyon here. Just explain to our listeners how it got addressed. Is it a meeting conducted by Damien or the football operation manager or the CEO? How, you get the group in. What do you do?
Obviously there's a lot of publicity from the outside, and to be honest, I don't hear a lot of that. So when it came in on Monday, they sort of just sat us down in our meeting and addressed it nice and early. So everyone was aware of it. There was a few cameras and media out the front of the club. So they just let us know what was going on, and then from there we was just moved on really quickly. So Daniel handled it quite well, and he was good last night as well. So,
hey, congratulations on your career, Jake. I mean, people ask, how do Richmond keep staying at the top? It's because they find blokes like Lambert and yourself, obviously a mature age pick-up, and very good again last night. What was it, 2 goals, 6 contested possessions, 13 touches, 11 pressure racks. How have you felt coming into this Richmond system? And what would you say about the environment they create at Richmond for someone like yourself to come in and just be able to make a consistent impact at senior level?
Yeah, good question. I felt like I've been around the club for a while now, spending a lot of time on the VFL list, and then watching the likes of Kane Lamberts and stuff come through, and it sort of drove me a little bit to get into the system. And lucky enough, I was able to get into the system, and the club backed me in, and from then it's just been putting one foot in front of the other, really. Just my effort and intent every week. That's probably one thing I try and consist my game off, just 100% effort all the time at training. Especially last year, I didn't think that I was going to play 14 games last year, so to get on the end of those games, and unfortunately I was able to miss out at the end of the season, but to have a good pre-season and come into the team and play my role, which at the end of the day, that's all they want me to do, and that's all I've been doing, I guess. So it's been good.
All right, Jake, Ross Lyon here. With your development, there's a lot of noise about soft cap and reduction. From the time you come in, and maybe tell us who the coaches worked with you, how that looked, do you think that's being undercut at the minute, the development, and it'd be harder for a player like you to come on as quick or at the same pace that you have without it?
I'm not sure. I mean, I spend a lot of time with Craig McRae. He was our VFL coach, and him and the VFL coaches when I was there did an awesome job developing not only me as a player but our whole VFL list. And it was something that the club wanted to get really strong, that VFL AFL connection, and it obviously worked for a number of years at our club. So in terms of what it looks like now, it's going to be interesting to see how the rest of the year plays out with the VFL lists and the new league that they've made. So I don't know, it's a tough question, because there's a lot of coaches still put a lot of time into players, but you can only go with what the resources that you have, I guess.
Now, Jake, I copped a lot of flack earlier in the season for saying that Noah Bolter, he wears glasses, his vision isn't perfect. Somehow he's able to produce these consistently magnificent performances on ground. Can you confirm for us and just save me a little bit here by saying that Noah Bolter, just sort of general day-to-day stuff, can't see as well as yourself, for example?
No, I actually don't think he can. He's always got his glasses on around the club. So
He just bumps into things, doesn't he? Walking around, just bumps into things.
He doesn't bump into stuff, Clarkie. Don't fall down that line, Artsy.
He sees a footballer, right? That's the main thing.
Hey, Jake, Nathan Brown here. Ross introduced himself every time he speaks. I'll just throw that in there as well. But Tom Lynch, I want to talk about Tom Lynch because from all reports, he is...
I added that in this week. I just thought, you know...
He did it twice, though.
He already knows who you are,
I'm fatiguing already. 2 hours and 20 minute lead-in's not great for me.
Everybody talks about Tom Lynch, how nice of a guy he is, and then he gets out there, he's got the white line fever. Take us behind the scenes of how nice a guy he is, because we only see the guy that just wants to crash packs and push people over.
Yeah, nah, he's a ripper. He's a good bloke. I mean, I didn't see he does get a bit frustrated on the field, but that's just the way he plays. He plays on the edge, which we love, and I think there's a few blokes that play on the edge a bit. But yeah, behind off the oval, he's a great bloke and good person to be around and a good teammate. So,
and Jake, just as we let you go, just have a look on your social media. Are you a young father?
Yes, I am. Yeah, so we've got me and my partner Amelia. We've got a young daughter, 4-month-old daughter named Ava. So,
how's it going, mate?
It's been a big change for our lives, but she's been awesome. She's been awesome. She's been I don't want to speak too soon, but she's been letting us sleep at night, which has been real good. She's been really good, actually. Yeah.
Has it changed your approach to your job, which is football?
I guess so. It has. It gives you because now day to day, everything's around her now, and it's pretty relentless. So. It's not all about me on game day anymore. It's helping Amelia out and doing what we can to keep Ava healthy. And she's been real good, mate. She was a bit of a surprise for us, but here we are. So
great surprise, mate. Good on you, Jake. May you go well with your young family. Have plenty more if that's what you're after, and continue to dominate for the Richmond Footy Club.
Awesome. Thanks heaps, guys.
Howie, you've done a lot of radio. Have you ever heard someone introduce themselves twice
in the same interview?
Not in the same interview.
Well, it went that long. I thought it was the second one, to be honest.
Not in the same interview. McDonald's and Ream Hot Water, Triple M Rocks Footy, Melbourne versus Carlton is our game. Mark Howard, Nathan Brown, Wayne Carey, Jay Clark, and this man.
Ross Lyon here. That's a squeaky voice.
Yes. Terrible. Great to have Ross on board as always. Okay, it is time for... You got your
company. This is Duck's Pump Up.
This is where, Duck, you spread some sunshine on the world.
Well, I think it's a fairly obvious one this week. And that it goes to the Kang, my old club, North Melbourne.
Yeah.
A lot of teammates and a lot of North people. And I said at the start of the year they wouldn't win a game. So I've been proven wrong again, Howie. Which
happily proven wrong.
And well done to David Noble and everyone down at the footy club, because I think there's been signs over the last 3 or 4 weeks.
Good build.
Really good
Melbourne,
signs.
3 quarters.
Yeah, they've been in games and finally to get a win. So I think job well done.
They're outstanding in the middle in that second half. Oh. We're going to speak about Hawthorn a little bit later, but Ben Cunnington, Jai Simpkin and Luke Davies-Uniacke, the jury's been out on Luke a little bit throughout his career. He had some groin issues early on. Those guys in the middle really took the game away from Hawthorn. We're going to speak about the Hawks a little bit later in Enjoying Deep with Ross Lyon. Let's have a listen to the North Melbourne coach David Noble on yesterday's win, their first of the season.
Yeah, really pleased for a range, I think, of our people, you know, members particularly and our fans. They've been hanging in there with us for a few weeks now as we've, you know, progressively got better. I'm really encouraged for our players to get that sense and that nourishment of what that win feels like, particularly that 3, 4, 5 minutes afterwards. And, you know, our staff have worked extremely hard over the last 6 months, so... that's the direction that we want to go, and that's certainly a great reward, I think, for a group for a short period of time, and then we've got to get back to work on Monday.
Personally, mate, on your birthday,
yeah.
So I suppose couldn't get a better birthday present.
Not really.
First
day, it all sort of seemed to fit and line up, didn't it? It was good, so it was a gutsy win. It's how I'd like our team to sort of stand for, and, you know, lots of character, and I thought they showed that today in spades.
Well done to the Roo boys. Good to see them on the board. All right, that's Pump Up the Duck. I like that. But with a ying, there's always a yang. It is now time for Captain Negative himself.
Yes, this morning.
Now it's time.
Been pretty ordinary.
For Deflate Nate.
Here he is, the great statement maker, Nathan Noodles Brown.
I was scrolling through Twitter the other day, Howie.
Always dangerous.
And I came across a picture which took my fancy, and it was of Keanu Reeves and Patrick Swayze. So that could only be Point Break.
Oh, yes.
And I was excited. I thought somebody's written an article on Point Break. Oh. So then I clicked on it.
I read the article.
A man called Malcolm Knox.
Knoxy.
And then he went on to bag one in a generational movie. He
incensed
goes,
I was, Nate.
Point Break became a cult movie by being so bad that millions thought it was good. Describing the plot gives a false impression that something ridiculous must be this fun. And then he goes on to savage Keanu.
Oh, I read this too.
Really, the fascination of Point Break is what a thumpingly terrible actor Keanu Reeves was. Sometimes the whole movie feels like a prank at his expense.
I read this, Nate.
Noxy. What the hell? And then I had a look at Noxy. He's bald and he's got glasses. And I'm sitting there thinking, Mountain Noxy, come on, mate. This is one of the great generational movies. For a boy in Bendigo, I thought, how good is this?
Me too.
I can rob banks and surf at the same time. This is perfect for people in Bendigo. Keanu Reeves, Patrick Swayze, Anthony Kiedis.
Yes.
You got Phelpsy out there.
Yes, Phelpsy, death on a stick out there.
Gary Busey and Laurie Petty. I cannot believe it. And so I just thought that perfectly he summed up Malcolm Knox. This is the who wrote it. He reminded me of the chief of police, Ben Harp, the real stiff in this movie, played by John McKinley. And this is one of my favourite scenes.
Over the last 2 weeks, you two have produced exactly squat! Squat! During which time, the ex-presidents have robbed two more banks! Now, for Christ's sake, does either one of you have anything even remotely interesting to tell me?
Caught my first tube this morning, sir.
The greatest line in movie history for Mike.
Noxy, how can you not like this?
Now, your man Noxy often writes about cricket. He's also written a very good book called Bluebird, which I would recommend. But I'm with you, I reckon, at this stage.
Okay, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
He's got this wrong.
He's way off here.
He's got this wrong.
He's way off.
I like that you're incensed about it, Cole.
One of the great movies. The remake was terrible.
I made Erica read the... I said, you can't believe what this man's saying about Point Break.
So many
Noxy didn't get invited to parties when he was young.
Utah, give me two.
Utah, get me two. Yep. So many great lines.
Death on a stick out there today, mate.
Yep.
That would be,
that would be a
waste of time.
Yeah. One of the great
Ross
films.
Has never seen. Have a look at him.
Have you seen it?
No, I started to.
Have you not? We're going to have
listen to that dialogue.
Rossi.
It appeals to the greater masses of Bendigo and Kangaroo Flat.
We will have a Sunday Rub movie night where we'll get popcorn and we'll bring you along and we'll watch Point Break.
Latrobe Valley, you Bendigo, mate. We're talking inner north here, mate. There's no beach.
Give me something good that Noxie's done and I'm happy to give him another go.
Very good book. Jay-Z, we only got partway through your big three. You started off talking about Paddy Cripps. Max King.
Yes, well, he had an off night with his goal-kicking radar. Let's be honest. I mean, he is one of the most exciting young key forwards in the competition. Matt Duck, of course, has taken him under his wing with his fantastic overhead marking. And they were the better side early, weren't they? But it was their conversion. I think they kicked 5 goals, 17. King kicked 1 goal, 5. You saw him come to the bench late in the game, throws his water bottle, shaking the head. You could tell he was absolutely shattered. Ross, what are you saying? How do you get inside a young...
So kick straight, son.
...player's head? Because we keep hearing the theory, that, we don't get time to do our goal kicking or, you know, the sports
science.
There's
plenty of time. You don't need to do it within the hours of the club. I think North in the area, are they? Tony Elstra used to go on Wednesday morning, did you not?
Yeah,
or a couple of mornings a week at 7 a.m.
Go on your own time.
Days off.
Bigger
days
problem off. Would be if he's not getting it.
It's between now, his ears.
He's got a nice run-up, and I would suggest that...
I disagree with that.
His run-up is too short.
I disagree,
short. He's got a fluid run-up. Nice. He needs more momentum.
Five steps.
Yeah, a little bit quicker. I think he's based it on... I mean, Jared Roughhead's there who kicked off 4 steps. Maybe
but
even
a powerful man. Lock it off short
exactly.
steps.
Exactly, yeah.
Rewalt. He's a...
Jack Rewalt.
Hasn't got the
so
power
he needs
through
more
the hips
momentum. But... They need to be, I think, filming him from the front and the back to show him what he's doing.
Do we think that's not happening?
Wouldn't that be happening.
It's negligent.
Yeah.
I'd be shocked if they haven't had the biomechanist film from the front side there, recorded. He must be missing them at training because you can't kick him at training and then miss him in the game unless you do one of two things. You go away from your routine you're practicing at training or... And that's basically the only way you can miss them because the pressure, and then you think about the result, you don't stick to your routine. Yeah.
Well, they flicked their goal-kicking coach. They paid Ben Dixon for a couple of years, who ran a very good goal-kicking program. Once made Tim Membry kick 40 goals in a row from different distances and angles to buck his yips, but then he's gone as part of the...
No, but hang on.
That's what you should do.
The last 5 years, bar 1 year, they've been 17th and 18th. What years was Ben there? Maybe that's why he got the arse.
I think they climbed. Well, I wondered whether after last night's or Friday night's performance, his feed actually increased.
Well, Ben's happy to clip a few. He's clipped me along the way. He's won back, Ben. Your goal-kicking coaching's been ordinary.
Duck's got something to say.
I'm available, but I'm not cheap.
Yes. Brett Ratton, after the game, took issue with the holding the ball rule. So this is a leaf out of Alistair Clarkson's book, Ross. He said that we got three free kicks from 85.
As in the diversion or the...
Well,
is that what you're implying?
No. Alistair Clarkson also wants the holding the ball rule tightened. Nathan Buckley's a fan of that issue. Do you think the rule is too lax?
I watched all of that game.
Yep.
I was forget the rule of the week, what the umpires are... And there was a few where I could see him getting frustrated, but they held on to it for a while. I could see the frustration. But St Kilda's best football was in the first 30 minutes, whatever period. And then Geelong really came for a long period. Saints back into the third. You know what? Focus on Membry's drop mark. Yep. Focus on King not picking the ball up. You know what? If you had a kick straight, they're under enough pressure, the umpires. You know what? Do it behind closed doors. Pick up. Don't give your players the out.
Yep.
There's a little bit of breathe-out factor there. I think Rats... doing a good job. I know he's disappointed, frustrated, but you know what? Take it up behind closed doors. There was an article during the week about young umpires getting threatened out in the community.
Mm.
They don't need AFL coaches banging on. My son played a game yesterday, school footy. Oh, the umpire said, no, mate. How about you put your head over the ball? You know, like...
He's on today, Ross, isn't he? He is.
Nah, but you know what? AFL football, we're missing them from 20 metres, and we want to bag the umpires for not playing a couple of on-the-ball free kicks. Well, they kick 5-17. Own it.
Ever since he came in underdone that time with the three power raids, he's listening.
Yeah.
He realised he might have overstepped
the
mark.
But we all dance around the issue. Does anyone not believe what I'm saying here? No. And you can leave the box too.
No, but that's the thing. Because
he's kicking blokes out of the box now, our man.
No, but you know what, mate? It's true. Does anyone think it's anything bar their goal kicking while they lost that game?
No. But that is the diversion out there from the footy club, and that is our man Ross Lyon telling us how it actually is, and that's why he's the number one man. The game, man.
Love it. Choice Hotels round the grounds. Need a book, need a break, don't we? Or book direct and save with Choice Hotels, choicehotels.com. What do you got, Clark?
Essendon kicked the last goal. They're up 4-2-26 against the Dockers, 3-5-23, up by 3 points. 8 minutes remaining in the second quarter. Ross so happy with his own take then. Did you see what happened?
He just said, I've been so good in the first hour, I could probably go home now. That's exactly what you just said, Ross.
No, I said, I'm off here today. I should go home before I say something I regret.
No. Now, Nate, you gave the job of our man Mark, our all-round technical guru, the opportunity to go and get you and Duck and himself some food. You gave him your platinum card. He's been unsighted for 50 minutes. Are you concerned he's done your card and done a runner with it?
Well, he hasn't been for a while, so I did give him my card, but I did say to get me and Duck some food, buy yourself some, but that was 45 minutes ago.
Hopefully the card comes back with our man Mark and some food. All right, time for...
Pot, Palmer, and proving you're smarter than your mates. It's the Sunday Rubs Pub Quiz.
All right, here we go. Sunday Rub Quiz. Buzzers, please, Duck.
Duck, Duck.
Jay-Z.
JJ.
Ross.
Ross, Ross, and Noodles.
Brambra.
Here we go. Nate, dominating the competition so far this season. Have you been paying attention, Rossi? No. As at the end of round 8, which player tops the leaderboard of the... Duck.
That would be...
Yes, Duck.
I think it'd be Mackay.
JJ.
No.
Yes. Is it Hugh McCluggage?
It is. Topping the leaderboard for the AFL Coaches Association votes, it is Hugh McCluggage. Nice start by Clarkie. Carlton's Harry Mackay leads the Coleman medal with 30 goals as of the end of round 8. What was his previous career best goals in a season? Duck.
It would be, he's just passed it. I reckon it's 27.
JJ. 26.
26 it is. Clarky is on, and Mark has arrived with Noodle's credit card, and there is some food in the house.
Clarky may have looked at the answers.
Which Collingwood player yesterday played his 150th...
JJ. That's Jack Crisp.
It is the Crisper. The Crisper, 150 straight. Jay-Z's up to 3 already.
Someone seen the question.
The Selwoods. The Selwoods, Adam, Choice, Scott, and Joel. Yes, Doug.
738.
No.
Bram.
Yes.
The Danaher's?
Yes. This weekend became the second set of brothers to reach a combined 750 AFL VFL games.
So I'm on the right path.
Mm. You are. As it stands, who currently holds the number two pick in the mid-season draft?
JJ. Of course, that is the Hawthorn Football Club.
It is Jay-Z, out to a flyer. Who was the round eight nominee for the NAB Rising Star?
Oh, really should know this.
Ross. Harry Jones?
No.
It's
Duck.
James Jordan it was, Duck.
Who's he play for?
Melbourne.
Midfielder.
Ross.
He's big today.
I'm worried that Rabsy gave him that answer then. I looked up and Rabsy looked really sheepish when I looked at him.
He's
like,
right,
really
Rabs.
Sheepish.
He's Rabsy? Why confirmation?
Why do you know what?
Really sheepish.
Rabs, if you're manipulating my quiz, you'll never work here
again.
And
how sheepish he is.
Oh, no wonder I can't get across the line.
And it is the type of detail that Duck would have
idea who James Jordan is. He's a tipster out of Morfordville.
What number is he?
Brown.
What number?
What colour is he? What number? What number is he, Duck?
Number.
Yeah. Actually, who's he play for at the start?
Number six.
And who's he play for, Duck?
Melbourne.
Rabsy.
He's actually number 24.
Oh, I can't believe this. Imagine some of the stuff that's been happening all season.
I don't know what's going on. Cryptic name game. Oh, I like these. A current Gold Coast son whose surname can be easily purchased at a supermarket or green grocer. Not spelt the same way, but said the same way. You've got Gary Pineapple up there. You've got...
Mr. Potato.
your broccolis.
Is Sean Lemons the answer is?
Of course.
A current St Kilda player whose surname can be defined as to assemble and arrange a group of people, especially troops, in order.
Ross. Sergeant.
JJ.
But Battle.
No.
Bram.
JJ. I clearly said it.
Jay.
Josh Battle.
No.
Brown.
Yes.
Jack Steele.
Oh. What's that got to do with anything? Jake, your last one here. No, he's out.
The big ruckman.
It is Royal Marshal. To marshal your troops as opposed to sergeant your troops. Or would you
I don't think they've got a sergeant on there.
Give him some steel.
Okay, we'll push on. Guess the year. In this year, Waverley Park and Victoria Park both host their final ever senior VFL AFL game.
JJ.
Yes.
Is it 91?
No. Tony Lockett surpasses Gordon Coventry to become the league's greatest ever goal kicker.
Bram.
Yes.
It would have been 1999.
Yes. Shane Crawford won the Brownlow in 1999. Nath 2, Jay-Z 4, Duck 1, and Ross. Pretty much from Ross in this segment. Now revisiting a favourite from last week, which was very popular on social media. Sports stars and singing are not a great mix. I'm going to play you a piece of audio. I want the name of the person attempting to sing. Roll it.
Duck.
Yes.
Macho man.
That's yes, the wrong. Duck.
That was.
Yes, Duck.
I remember it was a long time ago.
Yes, it was, Duck.
And it was.
Yes, Duck.
Bump
on. Macho man.
4, 3, 2. Let's have another listen to that.
Brown.
Yes.
Renee King.
No. We'll have one more listen.
Hey. Ross.
Hey.
Okay, Shane Crawford.
No, I'm not going to listen to it again.
Michael Roberts.
No, it was Robbie Flower. The great Robbie Flower. Okay, second bit of audio. Roll it, please.
JJ.
Yes.
That is Richard Champion.
No. It's not Richard Champion.
Brown.
Yes.
Former Hawthorn player, went to Fremantle.
McFarlane.
No.
No. Now, I'm a bit concerned here, Rabsy. Okay. Let's try the audio again, please. I got my first
real six string. Brown.
Yes.
Russell Robinson.
It is Russell Robinson.
No, he doesn't get that.
But you don't get that because you already had a go at McFarlane.
Okay.
So you're out
no
there. Third one. Here we go.
Still want to get this. Imagine
all the people. Wow.
Brown.
Yes.
John Lennon.
No.
JJ.
Yes.
Gary Lyon.
No.
Got a pretty good voice, whoever it was.
It was Mark McClure singing.
Really?
Fourth bit of audio. Working hard to make a living,
bringing shelter from the rain. Duck.
Yeah.
Billy.
Yeah, it is Billy Brownless with a bit of working class man. This is a non-footy one.
I've seen you with your hair down and your bare feet dancing around the living rooms feeling
Ram Ram?
Yes.
Steve Smith.
It is Steve Smith.
Jeepers.
And the final bit of audio.
That was rubbish.
Roll it. Ram Ram. Yes, me. Kick up the audio, please.
Oh, it's just terrible.
Just try.
And after
I do too.
That's a footy show.
Right, I admire you having a crack. Nate's four, Jay-Z's four, Ducks two, and Ross is in attendance. General knowledge, Craig Bradley holds the record for the most games played at Carlton with 375. Who is second or third on that list?
Bruce Stuhl?
Yes.
Is second?
Yes.
And Stephen Silvani is third?
Duck, duck.
No, you got the first one.
Cade Simpson.
Cade Simpson, yes, on 342. So Duck working his way into it. He's three, one behind the joint leaders, Nathan Jay-Z. General knowledge part two. The Demons have started this season 8-0. Wins, losses, are on track to play finals footy in 2021. Who holds the current record for most goals in a final at the Melbourne Footy Club?
Russ Ross.
Yes.
Neats.
No.
Jay.
Jay.
Russell Robinson.
No.
Duck.
Yes.
Got to be Lyon.
Gary Lyon, 10-4 versus Footscray, semi-final 994. Whoa, 4-4-4 and Ross. Sponsor watch. I'll name a former Guernsey sponsor of a club. I want the club's name, please. Alinta Gas.
Duck.
Yes.
That would be... That was Carlton, I reckon.
Brown Brown.
No, yes.
Fremantle.
It was Fremantle. Oh. Nate hits the lead. Avco Finance.
Ross Ross.
Don't give it to him. That was clearly...
No, you can't do it, Harry. I'll probably get it wrong anyway. Carlton.
Yes.
Thank you.
And finally...
I just like to get off tomorrow.
Finally, Hoover.
Brown Brown.
Yeah.
Sydney.
Yeah, it was Sydney. Well done. Nate leads 6-4-4-1. Here we go. Who am I? Once you guess, you can't guess again. I was born January 18th, 1974 and played 128 AFL games. I kicked 349 goals, so that's good numbers, across my 9-season career. I was the leading goal kicker for the season at 3 of my 4 clubs.
Ross Ross.
Ross Ross. Ross.
Cummings.
Scott Cummings. So Ross gets 3, which delivers Nate the win. What up, Noodles? Nate wins again. 5-4-4-4.
Four, four, four.
Yes, you got 4. Yeah,
you cost me the win, Ross, because I have the answer.
You can't win everything in life, but...
Okay.
Zach Fisher will join us next. Choice Hotels round the grounds.
It's Essendon by 2 points at halftime. This is a low-scoring one. It's the Bombers up by 32 over Fremantle 30. Luke Beveridge said the early man on the mark changes have been a sugar hit to the competition. Mm. Scoring a cup down since. You agree with that, Ross?
Yeah, what's your statement?
We might follow that we'll up another break. There's some stunning radio right there. Shame this man's not playing. Hopefully he is very soon. We'll get the information on that. And he's looking very sharp as well. He's Zach Fisher. He's got a nice pant on, a jacket, and a Carlton tie as well, and waving to the crowd as we speak. Zach, thanks for joining us on Triple M Footy. You look sharp down there. How are you going?
Yeah, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. It's a bit cold, so I thought the extra coat was necessary.
No, you look very, very sharp. Where's the ankle at, and when are we seeing you play?
The ankle's progressing really well. I'm getting into ball work next week, and it's, you know, I'm hoping 3 to 4 weeks just before or after the bye round. I think we've got it around 13. So, yeah, I'm super excited to get back out in the park.
Now, Zach, as a member of the Fish and Cripps household, if in fact you still are living together with the superstar captain, what's been the story with Paddy Cripps' back injury, and how much did you see him struggle when he reached for the cereal of a morning in the kitchen?
No, I've moved out with Cripper. I'm with my lovely partner Bella now, which is great. But I think Cripper had a little niggle in the pre-season, and I think he carried it for 2 weeks. But he's been fine since then, so he's going well.
We're speaking of Zach Fisher on the Sunday Rub. Here is Ross Lyon.
Zach. Oh, I was going to introduce myself. Ross Lyon.
Doing,
how
Ross?
Are you, Zach?
Hey, Ross, how are you?
Just in case you weren't aware that I'm up here working for Triple M on the special comment.
How good?
Yeah.
Used to coach Fremantle and Kilda in the day. Fitzroy.
I think we might have targeted you there one day, son. But what's your one-wood, Zach? What do you bring to the Blues when you're back? What's your one-wood? What's your instrument?
I think my speed and creativity playing half forward this year is... nearly got hit, is my one wood this year, and I think I can add that spark and flair into our forward line and hopefully generate a bit of speed in the offence.
Is it true that you called, the Carlton Football Club are in need of small forwards? Is it right that you called David Teague in the pre-season or at the start of the pre-season and said, Coach, I want the job?
It's been 2 years in a row now that round one I've done an ankle injury, which has been a bit frustrating, but... You obviously have to be extremely fit to play as a midfielder, and having the 8 weeks off with syndesmosis, I thought, you know, my fitness wouldn't be up, but I can still use my speed and agility. And called Teague up and saying that I was there to buy into the role, and yeah.
You're all over your opposition last week to the point where 27 points up against a side who was humming at the moment. What happened just before three-quarter time, because they wrested momentum back, and how did you guys review that come Monday?
Well, it's really hard to, you know, put a finger on it, but I think the game works in momentums, and for us, we haven't been a consistent football side not playing four quarters, and when they have their momentum, we need to minimise how much they score, and obviously on the flip side, when we have the momentum, taking full advantage of that.
Zach, in your team meetings, is there robust discussion? Do defenders stand up and say to the midfield and the midfield coaches, look, we know it's tough in there, the centre square bounce, but 20 to 5 is just a bridge too far. Can you just get the work in there?
Yeah, we've had some good, honest conversations in our meetings, and the boys are working really hard on that on the track. I think, you know, they'll look at the vision this week and, yeah, really identify that and work on that this game.
So you're currently 3-5. I think if you lose today, it could be 3-6 and finals hopes are really on the line. How would you describe the mood ahead of this one? So is it more urgent? Is it more tense or more serious? Do you try and keep it the same mood every game? How would you describe what's happening in the rooms right now?
Now, they're looking really motivated today. Obviously, last week was a tough challenge, but I think they're really looking forward to the challenge today, and I think we can get the job done.
Zach, your hair is quite extraordinary. How much work goes into it? Because it is a magnificent head you've got.
Thanks, mate. I appreciate it. Nah, in the morning, have a shower, chuck a hat on to it so it's not fluffy, and then that's me.
Zach, it's quite spectacular, mate.
Being paid quite comfortably well at an AFL club, have you invested your money into anything like cryptocurrency?
careful.
I do enjoy my cryptocurrency. Me and my dad are invested in XRP, so get on.
Yeah, this is a smart man.
To the moon.
This is a smart man, Howard.
So what particular, because I've been asking Nate for a year which one to pull the trigger on. We must state that this is not financial advice provided by Zach or the Carlton Footy Club, but which one are you into, Zach?
XRP Ripple. It's going to be the world's bridging currency.
Are you across this one, Noodles?
XRP's around for a while. It's had its moments up and down, but it's on the upswing at the moment, Howard.
Have you got some?
I have got some, Howard.
Smart man.
All right, Zach, we appreciate your time. Look to see you playing for the Blues very, very soon. Good man.
Thanks for having me, guys. Have a good day.
There we go. He's gone back to the media manager. What have they talked about? Well, they talked to me about my hair. They talked to me about cryptocurrency. So which
was
one?
The one talking about the bridging.
Which, because I need to get him. Which is the one I'm choosing of Monday?
I've been telling you about a coin called Dot for the best part of a year. And
Dot.
You
I'm ready to go now. Ready to go.
Well, I told you about it when it was $5. It's now like 55.
Right. Is it still the one to go for?
I think it is. There's a lot out there, Howard. Do your own DYOR. Do your own research.
All right, but Jay-Z.
Yep.
Okay, Dot it is.
Hey, big win for the Western Bulldogs on the road last night. I think we all sort of thought it might have been a pretty big challenge for them without Lockie Hunter, without Steph Martin, without Tim English. They really took it up to Port Adelaide. Were fantastic through the midfield and got the job done forward of the ball as well. Let's have a listen to Luke Beveridge, the coach of the Bulldogs side. Just ask Ross Lyon after this who he thinks is the top two premiership contenders, but this is Luke Beveridge.
Yeah, it'll do wonders for the belief of the group and the importance of these outings and these experiences can't be undersold. And you know, last week was another good example. Carlton are a team that can score heavily and they're definitely at our measure for a little while. And I think it's just that you find encouragement in the fact, and the players do, in believing what they're trying to do together. And yeah, and against a team like Port on their home deck, where they've been significantly strong and don't drop many, we can definitely bank that and feel good about it. And hopefully, yeah, it's an experience that, as we continue on, it will help us.
4 goals to Aaron Norton, 3 goals to Cody Waitman, who provided a real spark. It was electric early. Marcus Bontempelli, reckon he looks like the best field kick in the competition. Some of the targets he hit last night. And Jack McRae, 32 possessions again last night, 10 contested, 23 pressure acts. I think he's had 30 possessions in every game he's played this season. Possibly the most underrated midfielder in the competition. But if none of us are prepared to ride off Richmond, Ross, are the Bulldogs the biggest challenger to the Tiger Army as things sit?
Well, I'll answer your first question. I concur with Bevo.
The road wins.
They frank themselves.
Yep.
Port Power, at home.
Quality.
Fully, Yeah, it was a quality win. And the way they did it, I love the way they did it. We talk about silence the crowd from the start, take the crowd out. They did that. They jumped out of the blocks. They had Port on the back foot. They come back. And then we used to talk about take them to deep water and drown them.
Yeah.
And, you know, they took them to deep water. They took them to deep water early and then and send the crowd home early. I loved it on the commentary. Bevo should get it out and the commentator saying, and the Port Power fans are leaving early, so they sent them home early. It's a what strong AFL teams do. You win in the state. They frank themselves. They're the real deal. No, they've got some weaknesses. Mm-hmm. But I think there's about five teams that can win it.
Who are they?
Well, there's clearly Geelong.
Yep.
But you could see the Saints, if you're not on, will challenge. Brisbane have turned it around and then... You know, oh, I wasn't a huge Joe Denhart, but now you look at their midfield, they're doing it without Neil.
Yep.
They're growing. But to frank themselves, they're going to be able to do what Bulldogs did, go into state, whether it be Perth, whether it be Adelaide, get those wins.
They've got Richmond on Friday night.
Yeah, and that's a big one. And the Tigers, without five of their best midfielders, well, they just find a way. They're exciting and still dog hungry and a bit of off-field, but it just shows you can manage the off-field. There's no doubt about that. Melbourne, we get to see. Their defence is strong, number one, sixth attack. If they can just edge their attack up, you're sitting 1-4, you're a bona fide contender.
Yep.
But they're just finding ways when they're playing brilliant football. There's four. I think West Coast, they get enough wins with everyone back. If they can get Yo back and they can get their captain back, they've got all the pieces.
Better at home.
Yeah, and they're better at home. So, no, have I missed anyone there?
And the Bulldogs. Yeah.
And Port, to be honest. I've written Port off because at the minute they're a bit off the top ones. But their best, I still think they're a bit Jonas and that a little bit undersized and Ali's not a real key defender. But I think they've got the pieces if they get Butters back and Dersma's out at the minute. And I think they're best on their day. They've proven over a fair period of time. They're a bit off at the minute, but I think Kenny can turn them around. And injuries are going to determine this. You're best available at the right time of the year. I think it's the AFL should be pumped here. What's going on?
Brownie, you'll keep a close eye on the Brownlow. Will Jack McRae get the Brownlow recognition he deserves this year, or will Marcus Bontempelli steal the show on the Brownlow, do you think? Because the votes at the Bulldogs are going to be so interesting.
I think they'll be pretty similar. I'm running my own Brownlow tracker at the moment, Jay-Z. Thanks for bringing that up.
Why ask, Brownie?
I have at the moment McCluggage and Boak on top, but Bontempelli after last night will join them. I thought he got the three votes last night, Bontempelli. Wine's probably got the two, and McRae and maybe Caleb Daniel will fight it out for the one. The thing that Bontempelli does so well is he'll get three votes because big plays. Big goals, big times. He's a loping player, so he's a lot more noticeable than what McRae is. But McRae, I think, would have about 9 votes so far.
Choice Hotels around the grounds, Jay-Z?
Yeah, it's Essen over 2 points over at Fremantle at halftime at Marvel Stadium.
And what about the Mighty Hawks and the VFL? Doing some nice work. That's where we're looking, Hawthorn Sports, the VFL at the moment.
Well, they would want to.
Nice consolation.
They're up by 65 points in the VFL over North Melbourne as well at the moment, 16-11, 107. North Melbourne 6-6, 42. But the Hawks have big issues. And I want to talk about the midfield in particular with Ross the Boss here after the breakout. We're doing that.
It was put to me that the Hawks just sort of gave one to North Melbourne just to make sure they didn't get the priority pick and
tanking.
Sneak in front of the Hawks.
Is that right? Well, you would know, Howie.
That's a real tongue-in-cheek style statement.
The Sunday Rub is drilling deep.
Good segment, this really gaining momentum when Jay-Z and Ross just sort of drill right into the game. Where are we going today?
Lillian Marsh, sort of.
Yes, that's what I was thinking.
The Woodbridges. Woodbridge, Woodford, the Woodies.
Woodies. Anyway.
Oh, not Woodies, mate. We're not a doubles. Come on.
Aren't we? Well, you're your
own. Woodford? We're better than that, aren't we?
Well, I think you're more Lewis Hamilton, which is Ross, and you're Valtteri Bottas, sort of the real C-grader.
The Bryan brothers in tennis, they were the real deal.
They're the real dude.
But they were an equal combination. I don't look at this.
I ran into your nemesis. I tried to get some info on your Brownie, but he said no, it was one all and there wasn't too many tantrums.
Was this like Hale and Pace, is it, this one?
Yeah. Maybe more the two Ronnie.
Lillian Thompson.
Get on with it.
Comedy not as strong. So we all felt warm and fuzzy, didn't we? We saw Ben Cunnington and Goldie and all the North Melbourne boys hug each other after a 7-point win come from behind against Hawthorn. They trailed at one stage by 30 down there in Tasmania. But the other side of the coin is a very interesting one for the Hawthorn football club, because yes, 4 premiership cups in that trophy cabinet would make every Hawthorn supporter feel fantastic, but it's fair to say they're in a deep hole. And the president, Jeff Kennett, interestingly this week said, look, we're going to go to the draft this year, we're going to go to the draft next year, but from 2023 we are going to contend, don't you worry about that, and we'll be set up for another decade of success. I don't know they got the quite got the young talent to contend that quickly. But what was exposed yesterday is I reckon there'd be flashing lights and sirens, all sorts of alarms going on about the midfield performance. So Ross Hawthorn are currently 18th in the competition for centre clearance differential. They're 18th in the competition for regular clearance differential. And they've got an engine room featuring a Brownlow medalist, Tommy Mitchell. They've got Jager O'Meara in there as well, who we all respect. Plus they've got James Warple, fine young player, best and fairest winner. They've got Tommy Phillips across from Collingwood.
And Wingard spends a lot of time through there.
And their
captain, Ben McAvoy.
Can't forget Big Boy. Like, it cost them, what was it, for Wingard, it was Burton and a first-round pick, which was ultimately Xavier Dersma, which is a huge investment. Now, I'm looking at that midfield, and I'm thinking, right, do you trade one of these guys? Do you trade Tommy Mitchell? Is it Jager O'Meara? Is it someone, if that midfield with those names can't get the job done, if they're 18th in the competition for clearance differential, are you looking at significantly reshaping that midfield as part of this rebuild?
Well, it's not ideal, is it?
No.
The results are
not
ideal.
Why can't they get the job done in there?
I didn't watch the game because I can't believe how much noise that the club's won 4 points. That's where North's at. Geez, we're celebrating an AFL club's won a game. I mean, that's where Adelaide are at. So, but going in, I knew the numbers of in front time percentage.
Yep.
It was aligned. North and Hawthorn were basically at 12%.
So this doesn't surprise you?
No, I was thinking North a good chance, but then who's in, who's out? That midfield, they struggled last year during COVID for pace. They were a bit pedestrian and stagnant with the ball as well. So,
but why can't the Brownlow middler? So Tommy Mitchell,
I don't know. Who's their coach? Who's coaching the midfield? See, it goes to the senior coach all the time. But, you know, if they're winning 10 in a row, the midfield coach would be espousing him. He's the next midfield coach. Well, let's take some pressure off Clarko. Who's the coach doing the centre bounces with their captain, with the Brownlow medalist, with an all-Australian electric small forward in Wingard, and O'Meara, a top three draft pick star? Who's doing that? Why don't they step up and take some responsibility off Clarko?
Is it the remarkable one, Howie? Is he sort of doing stuff?
I don't know. He's busy with Box Hill at the moment.
Yeah, but do you know what I mean? That's your point. I'm not being flippant here, but it's a closed, it's a 4v4 in there. You shouldn't get, there's some smackings going on. It can happen, but you don't, and look, get smacked at half time, but you've got 20 minutes, get the vision sorted out. There's enough capacity in there to show some fight and protect your defence a little bit, but the sirens will be going, no doubt about that.
Yeah. Well, let's have a listen to your Hawthorn coach, Alistair Clarkson, about that midfield belting they copped after half time yesterday.
You know, from sort of midway through the third quarter, they were the better side by far, and we just couldn't get our hands on the footy. You know, three of their guys had 37 clearances between them, which is, yeah, it's a huge tally. And when they've got the momentum in that part of the ground, it just became a territory battle. That they were winning far too much, and our defence in the end was just overwhelmed by the sheer avalanche of stoppage wins that the North side were able to have. You know, I think we lost clearances by something like 20, you know, 49, 29 or something thereabouts. So I can't recall teams winning games of footy when you lose by that margin in the middle of the ground.
So Luke Davies, Uniacke, 5 centre clearances. Josh Simkin, 5 centre clearances. And then we got Jager O'Meara on 2, Tom Mitchell on 1.
Riddle Goldstein's taps out were unbelievable yesterday.
He's elite.
Yeah.
What would you do with that midfield? Call me crazy, but would Hawthorn, you think, be entertaining offers for one of those senior midfielders at the end of the year, Brownie? Like, are they going to be in part of their premiership, their next premiership?
Mitchell, well, I think Jager O'Meara is young enough, and Tom Mitchell, I can't remember the last time a Brownlow medalist was traded out. Maybe Adam Cooney, but maybe he wanted to go at the same time.
So it's ridiculous, is it? Or yeah,
Woden left, didn't he?
Woden, yeah. Yep. But look, at this stage, I think to give away a player who can regularly get 40 and win a Brownlow medal, and I think Jager O'Meara has just started to become the player they wanted him to be.
They're 18th percent of clearances.
I'd be looking out elsewhere outside.
It was the premiership whisperer, Clarko. 4, right? With respect, I say that.
Yeah, yeah.
So the destination club, Hawthorn, the money, the facilities. So Tom Mitchell comes along, but maybe to get the best out of himself as well. O'Meara, when he's choosing, he could, well, go to Hawthorn because I was still in that success period. But now it's a long, long way off. So they've got to recalibrate themselves. the reason I came here, because I thought I'd experience a cup, now changes. Are they prepared to do their hard yards? Do they want to stay? That's a question that might be. But if you want to draw a parallel between Hawthorn and North, we'd say they're exact same spot.
Yep.
But it's going to be easier for Hawthorn. And the reason I say that is, psychologically, they've got Clark at the helm. He's done it before. He'll say to my players, I've been here before. This is what you've got to do. We're going to do it. We've got the resources. So you do this, you play your part, and we'll come quick. Whereas at North, there's nothing there. That belief, that real... The honour boards are along... They go back 8, 13, 14. It's close. So it's more tangible than the North players have to go back to 96. Is that the last one, Duck? 99. Like, it's two decades. So theoretically, I think it's easier for Hawthorn, the Hawthorn players and people within the club to persist and rebuild because that belief system's there. It's harder for clubs like North and Fremantle that have never tasted it and haven't got people at the helm that know how to do it.
The reason why North Melbourne and Hawthorn are in the position they're in, quite simply for North, is North have never bottomed out. They haven't bottomed out for a long time. They have clearly bottomed out now, so they will get some low draft picks. And Hawthorn bucked the trend. They've been so good for so long. They actually haven't had quality draft picks. They've been able to get quality players in from other clubs. But they now have to go back to the draft just as they did when Clarko first got there. And that's the only way to rebuild a footy club. The other team that I think has bucked the trend clearly is Geelong.
Yep.
And I reckon Sydney have bucked. I mean, what have Sydney played? 14 about the last 15 years finals.
So they've had some anomalies with the academy and all.
Correct. But so Geelong have been the team that have bucked the trend and been able to stay up there. And part of that's to do with they've been a...
Well, not even the trend. Bucked the system because it's designed on drafting. So what you got to do when you're rebuilding, if we get one draft pick, and I remember Brad Lloyd talking about it, well... We want to add an extra first-round pick or get an extra pick inside the top 40 every year for 3 years. So then you've got three extra. So they try and do it by the numbers. That's why they split picks, trade picks. They're trying to get more through the door to create opportunity.
And Mitchell and O'Meara potentially too that have the currency.
And a draft of Franklin, Ruffhead and Jordan Lewis might help that as well if they can find that, if that's anywhere in the system in the next few years.
And you think about those players. What I think about Hawthorn, those players who have recently gone, it's the footy IQ. Like to real footy smarts. You take that out of your team. And not all players have great footy IQ.
All of those players. Those great premiership players, we understand why they did it to get opportunity and picks in. But for me, I struggle to see Isaac Smith running around at Geelong. Playing well. And then Phillips. But I understand it's a cost on contract and length of contract and maybe longevity in the game. But it's still hard for me to... If I was a Hawthorn supporter, I can't believe Isaac Smith said Geelong. Howie, you're one. What do you think?
Breaks my heart, Rossi.
Well, what about when you see Isaac Smith playing on Bradley Hill?
We backed the truck up for Bradley.
The Hawks didn't get much for those guys when they did trade them. Just finally on this, Brownie, you've got a good radar for this sort of stuff.
Thanks.
Do you reckon behind the scenes, the hierarchy at Carlton, Collingwood would be asking the question of Clarko's manager? Whether he's gettable for 2022.
Well, they'd be negligent if they weren't.
But you reckon they are? Yes.
I think they'd have to be asking that question. They'd have to be asking a question about the guy sitting next to you as well.
Not happening.
I would be definitely asking the question about Clarkson and Ross Lyon. Outside those two, is there a better fit for any? I don't think so.
Can I contribute to this conversation?
You can.
Well, you weren't
Thank
involved,
you.
But go.
Well, I'm learning off the duck. Make it about me. But I think Clarke, he'll be coaching at Hawthorn because he said that. His history tells you, you look at my history, that's where I'm going to be. The only way he won't be, if the Hawthorn hierarchy come to him, we don't know the internal discussions and went, look, this is how we see it. This is our plan. Is there a curability agreement with Sam Mitchell? I don't know. To me, that's the only way. He's not going to leave unless they come to him and said, we think it's time for you and time to regenerate underneath. I think is the only way it will happen.
I think with his and Jeff's relationship, Howie, there's always been a bit of friction there. I think it would surprise no one if at the end of the year they thought, right, we're going a bit different direction. Like, there's always been a little bit of heat.
Are they calling Sam Mitchell the remarkable one now, though?
I've heard they are.
I think he's gone to Yes.
You're saying you reckon the Hawks will move on Alistair Clark?
No, I'm saying it wouldn't shock me.
Well, you wouldn't want to lose a remarkable assistant to another club, would you, Harry?
No, but if it came down to it, you'd keep the senior coach that's won 4 premierships above all else, wouldn't you,
Well,
he's
Ross? A bit better than remarkable. He's probably...
He's outstanding.
Phenomenal.
Extraordinary.
Yeah.
We spoke about goal kicking earlier, Brown. You had a good look at why is Fifey? Why can't he kick hit the side of a barn? He's 2 goals, what, 15 for the year?
He's never been a great field kick either, Nat Fifey. He's a great player. He can mark over his head. He's a Brownlow medalist, but that's one weak area of his game. And I think at the moment he's missing time and time again, and it's inside his head. That's what happens when you miss continually. Then all of a sudden you go in there thinking, and even the strongest players like Fife would suffer from
it. When you say with his field kicking, I think because he's always in and around traffic, Fife, his kicks are generally rushed. Like he's under pressure.
He gets
a lot of rush kicks. But his goal kicking, I agree.
He's spoken to him.
But I think Bontempelli had a weakness in that area, and
he's improved
massively.
Kicked a big goal again last night.
Oh, he's a beautiful kick. Yeah. I thought he struggled there, Fifi, but in his last year, or even last year, I thought he changed his ball. When he did that work with Greg Williams, I thought Greg stopped him wobbling the ball around, and he just held it, and it was straight on, and improved it. But he's not. Look, that's not his one, what is it?
No.
Two Man, not too far away. The Two Man was off last night to see a Van Halen cover band, so I'll be looking forward to seeing what the Two Man brings to the table today. Might have had a couple of...
Cover band.
Boy, he wasn't going to see Van Halen, was he? They weren't in Melbourne last night, so yes, it was a cover band. And time for...
Brownies! Trading crypto. Stock exchange. Buy, hold, sell. It's pretty simple.
Cult segment, this really taken off.
Throw out a few subjects and you let me know what you want to do. You buy, you hold, or you sell, Ross. So first of all, it gets around this time where the term state of origin comes up. State of origin in the AFL.
So,
buy for me. I love it.
Sell.
Sell.
State of origin in the NRL, which first game is here in June.
Buy.
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 NRL in general.
Hold.
Gee, this is a...
Yeah, hold for me.
I'm a Wagga Wagga boy. Bye.
So.
What was that, Howard?
No, I like it. I like it. Right. I don't get enough opportunity to watch it.
Are you buying, you selling, or you holding Carlton saying Cripps is injury-free right now?
Buying.
Hold.
So what are we... What is he?
Do you believe them? Buy, hold, sell. They're saying that he's not injured at the moment.
I think he is injured. Yeah.
So you're selling?
Selling.
Oh, hold. What, Ross, is the lying that he... I'm not saying Carlton here, but is the lying that is constant in football around injuries? Mm. Hang on. Around injuries. Is that purely to protect the player, which I completely understand? So they don't want to say, well, let's use Cripps. He's got a bad back so he doesn't get whacked in the back. Is that what happens?
I think there would... Can I answer the question as in... A bit more expansive.
Please do.
Response. In the past, and I was like trying not to let them know because it's about, often it's for planning, like someone like a Mick Malthouse, they're planning for who's in and they put a lot of time into planning, like particularly key personnel.
Uh-huh.
And then when they're not there, it just unbalances them a little bit. So you just like to keep that guessing, hence the late change and those sort of things. But my personal experience is you generally get the truth now. They know they can't hide it. It gets out. They're at the scans. I took Teague at his word in that it sounded to me, interpreted, he was previously injured, but he's been in full training for 5 weeks and he's fine.
With the digital world at the moment, we don't use a lot of physical cash. So,
no.
Physical cash.
Oh, buy.
Sell.
Cash is still king.
When you get that little offer, Nate, for a little under-the-table-style payment, then nothing better. So cash is king. Buy.
Yeah, no, I don't get them, Howie. I pay my taxes with the ATO, so obviously I haven't checked your account.
So you've never done a sort of cash job, Nate?
No.
Nathan Brown.
Yesterday on the Saturday Rub, it was announced that Malcolm Blight was almost going to coach St Kilda in 2008. No, North Melbourne in 2008.
Right.
And Duck was going to be his assistant coach. Now, Duck confirmed this yesterday. As a team, Malcolm Blight and the Duck coaching North Melbourne, are we buying, holding, or selling?
Strong buy.
Yeah, but that'd be a great coach.
No defence, Brownie. I'm buying.
Buy.
They'd be talking about themselves the whole time.
Yes.
But they'd kick 250 each week.
That's right.
But imagine the team meetings. Well, Malcolm, well, Wayne, you're very
You kept that quiet for a while, didn't you?
Well, it's funny that I don't know how. I think Damo was talking to Blighty a couple of weeks ago, and he brought it up. So Damo started doing some digging. I never told a soul about that, so it was interesting that he found out.
Imagine that coaching, Brown. He'd be tapping the players all the time. Come on, mate.
Jokes and stuff, yeah.
A lot of golf sessions, a lot of bonding
Holding
sessions.
Holding up pictures of cats. It was entertaining.
In this COVID world, we run into a lot of people who we know and we don't know. And
yes.
A lot of people want to shake hands, Ross.
Oh, I'm salvaged.
Good one.
So,
yeah.
Actually, no. I shake, but have the little sanitizer next to you.
Yes. Bye.
I've always, if it's a complete stranger, you're selling. but with people you know, I still think the handshake's there to.
I like the shake, but
yeah,
when
like
you drill into the shake and you think about the shake.
But if it's someone you don't know, I've always, before COVID was ever around, I've always carried sanitizer in my car.
Wash. I don't know what to do without the shake. The great Damien Fleming discusses whenever you go to the Caribbean, always keep your hands in your pockets because you can never keep up with the amount of different types of shakes. They just don't shake because of the slapping and the rubbing and the pushing and the punching. So I like the shake.
Goal line technology.
So.
Bye.
And Rocket always, and obviously had this job a long time ago, but the great Will Minson audio, he claims was doctored. So it was a voice expert putting his voice on. It actually wasn't him. It was an amazing version of Leon Cameron in the same audio. So are we buying, selling, or holding Rocket?
Strong buy. No, as in,
it's
authentic?
Yeah.
No.
Sell.
Strong sell.
Sell. Brownie, can I ask you, Howie, quickly? Cameron Bancroft this week said the bowlers knew about sandpaper.
He didn't say that. You've got to be very careful.
No, he did.
He did not say that.
He said it is self-explanatory. He said you don't have to be blind Freddy to know that I was...
He didn't say any of the things you're just saying he said.
Absolutely said that, right?
Okay.
Do you think the bowlers... Do you think the Cricket Australia should reopen that investigation? And do you think the bowlers, if they had some awareness...
Let's buy a whole
cellar. Are we saying...
Did the bowlers know?
The Australian team was saying only two people knew there was a sandpaper being used.
In the official investigation.
You're buying, holding, or selling that.
Oh, hold.
Yeah, that's an absolute sell. Do you think...
I don't think there's any point in reopening an investigation.
Oh, so under the carpet it goes?
I think the investigation has been done. The players have been penalised beyond any other penalty seen in world cricket before. So
all right, this
I
is my go. Segment.
Sorry,
Brown. We thought you'd run out.
Nescafe Blend 43.
Buy.
No, I'm not sure of it.
Buy.
Sell.
I'm a big buy.
Not a coffee drinker.
Never had a coffee, so you're asking the wrong bloke.
Great question too, Brendan.
UberX.
What's UberX?
Well, you got Uber Black, you got Uber Comfort, then you got...
Is that a higher standard vehicle?
It's the standard,
one.
Isn't
okay.
it? Yeah,
no, it's the one where the Holden Barina can pick you up with the dirty floors.
No, okay. Buy. Buy 3 a.m, you take the UberX.
Yeah, I've been in plenty of Corollas. Buy.
Yeah.
Why? You seem like an Uber Black man to me.
I was there for a long time. just Uber Blacks, and then I realised you can get Uber X for a lot.
Last one. Gluten-free pasta.
Sell.
There is, and has been, out the back of the Marvel Stadium catering area that looks after the media, there has been, for the last 8 weeks, 2 gluten-free red chili pepper and hummus sandwiches. No one has gone anywhere near that.
When I look for food, I look for extra gluten in the food.
Yes.
That's how much I like gluten.
Our man Das has a problem with gluten, though, doesn't he?
Das has got a lot of problems.
It's at the end of that statement. Joyce Hotel's around the grounds. The Dockers taking on the Bombers. She's a close one.
Yeah, Darcy Parrish has just kicked the goal for the Bombers. They trail Fremantle by 4 points. Fremantle 7-9-51, leading Essendon 7-5-47. 1 minute remaining.
Never had a coffee in your life.
No.
Yeah, that's amazing.
It's like those people who say they've never had a drink, never tasted alcohol. You've got to worry about that. You've never had a coffee.
Quick one before I go, Howie. On today's game.
Yes, mate.
Ross Brownie and Duck. Who is Ed Curnow going to today? Who are you tagging? Oliver or Petrarca, in a word?
Petrarca.
Well, Petrarca's more damaging to the scoreboard.
Is that who you tag?
Well, he's more damaging to the scoreboard.
Are you saying he's guaranteed to tag? He didn't tag against Bulldogs, did he?
That's if he does tag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, just, I'm let me do these segments sometimes, Ross.
You can't just say, you know, Ross, be this, be that. Then, you know, you want me to compromise my standards because you haven't done your prep.
Do you think he tags and who's he going to go to?
Hey, can I just go to this? I heard someone on radio last night talking about Johannesson's been playing defensive forward. Half forward, hasn't he? And the dingbat from whoever it was on radio said, and
Johannesson's coming.
No, Fantasia, he'll get hold of Johannesson tonight. He kicked six. I thought, mate, the last 2 weeks you've been playing defensive forward. You got it wrong.
What station were you listening to, Ross?
I'll do it. No, I've got no
idea. He could go to Christian Salem and play defensive half role.
I like it,
role.
But it won't happen.
Who do you think he'll go to?
No one. Ross. He'll just freewheel.
You really think that?
That's what I saw last week.
Okay.
Anything else from you, Clark, before you head off?
No, have a great call, fellas. I'll be listening in.
All right. Well done, Guru.
Love your work, Clarky.
Shut up. The footy's on Triple M.
Triple M rocks footy.